Lowe's knows that saving is always top of mind, especially this season. That's why we've picked some great deals for early Black Friday. Get free select DeWalt, Kobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit. More tools? Why not? Plus, we've got select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees starting at $59.98 because it's never too early to think Christmas. Get Black Friday prices without the crowds. Lowe's, we help. You save. While supplies last, selection varies by location.
Hello and welcome to episode 14 of the First and Gold podcast. I am Ben Roberts, joined with Sim Longa, and we will jump right in and talk about the 14th ranked Purdue men's basketball team. It's a big weekend for Purdue athletics in general, and a couple of home games both Friday night and Monday night for the Boilermakers, who look pretty solid. We talked a little bit about it in the last episode, a 17-point victory over Texas A&M Corpus Christi. Sim, after you've had kind of a couple days, which I know if for me it feels like it's been forever since they played on Monday. But anything kind of else stick out from what we talked about? I think for me, the one thing that stuck out, and, you know, I think we were maybe, I don't want to say too hard, but I think the game that Braden Smith played, looking back on it now, I don't think we gave him enough credit. Of course, we wanted him to be a little bit more aggressive, but man, did he play well and kind of took what the defense gave him in that home opener.
Yeah, I think I feel like we probably critiqued him more from a standpoint of like, hey, you need to be putting up, you know, National Player of the Year numbers from the start. And that, at least for my opinion, is just more of like, okay, yeah, we're probably a bit harsh on him. I mean, the guy has 15 assists, win by 17. And especially down the stretch, he along with Fletch and with TKR were really the ones to help bring you home, be able to build back up that lead after, you know, Corpus Christi had gotten it down to, you know, one possession game. So I mean, yeah, that as time has passed since Monday, I definitely have sat there and been like, man, like, yeah, he did have a solid game. I think just I know from my standpoint, the criticism I had for him in terms of just like needing to shoot, like needing to take more than 6 field goal attempts, it's just, I think it's more of me thinking in the bigger picture. But I you know, in retrospect, I feel like Braden will probably know that, like, against Yale or against Alabama, like, he can't take 6 shots, and I think he'll do better about that. I think he used Monday as an opportunity to, you know, get his guys involved, like he said, after the game, in terms of, you know, getting guys looks and, you know, trying to get their confidence up. Cause if you can get guys' confidence up early, obviously that's going to make the game a lot easier for himself. So I think that, yeah, definitely he did have a good game, and, you know, want to be clear about the fact that, well, we might've been a bit critical of him, I acknowledge the fact that, like, yeah, he had a very good game, despite us wanting more, per se. The other thing that actually stuck out to me too, that still stuck with me, is the performance of Daniel Jacobson. I can't, like, especially the whole, he drew seven fouls and he didn't commit a foul himself. And I know it won't be that way every game this season, but yeah, that just for me, and for someone playing in their first collegiate game, to be in the starting lineup and to play the way that he played, it very much so, it encourages you. And based on what I saw on social media, people were like, oh no, Purdue has another big man. They have another like seven foot guy. So, I mean, obviously it's going to be the return of the just tall, the just tall campaign all over again. But yeah, I was really impressed with him. I really was.
Yeah, I think that's a really good call out. Especially that fact, like, that he didn't commit any fouls, which for a big man playing in his first game, and for as active as he was around the rim too, you know, right, to have 3 blocks and to change different shots, like, he was active down low too. So for him not to have any fouls called, as a freshman in game number one is a very eye-popping stat. So yeah, that's a good call out too. And that's kind of what these games are really hopefully for guys like Daniel, is to build that confidence too. Because like you said, it's not always going to be like that. Obviously when we get kind of into the thick of the Big Ten's season, he's going to go up against guys with a little bit stronger, a little bit more skill around the basket. So I think it's huge for him to have success early on in games like this, so that confidence just grows.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that's, I mean, we've seen cases before. Like, I remember with Jaden Ivey when he was here about how he kind of struggled a good portion of the of his freshman year. And it wasn't until that game on the road at Ohio State where culminated by the fact that he hit that step back three, where he kind of realized, like, even himself, he was kind of down on himself prior to, and that shot really kind of, injected a lot of confidence, and we saw what kind of happened from there. I think that, Jacobson having a good game this first game out, and then if he can start to string that together, and, like, yeah, again, he might not be perfect. I mean, well, he might not be perfect from a foul standpoint like he was in the first game, but just knowing, like, yeah, I can play at this level, kind of process and continue to understand. And as the game will hopefully slow down for him more this year, you just hope that he's able to be even more impactful, or at least just as consistent as he was. Like, if he puts a performance up like he did on Monday when we're in conference season, I don't think we're all gonna, I don't think that'll be too shabby. In fact, I think that would probably put him in good position to probably be Big Ten Freshman of the Year, depending on, how the wins and losses stack out. So yeah, you hope to just kind of see that this is the start of something really good for him.
I think the
Because, yeah,
other
though, he
kind
can
of
definitely use it.
exciting thing for him is that, he's the newest freshman on campus too. Like he was playing for Team USA when all the other freshmen were on campus. And so, he as he gets more time working with who I think is the best big man coach in the country, Brandon Brantley. As he gets more and more time practicing too, like, man, it's hard just not to get really, really excited about kind of the potential for him. And then you hear, we talked about it on the last podcast, but when you hear Paint compare him to JJ, like, that opens up eyes, because
Yeah.
like we said, Paint's just not doing that just to talk. And Paint has been there every day in practice and sees it, and he knows his stuff. So if he's comparing him to JJ, that's when you're like, oh shit, like, this guy might be legit.
Right.
So yeah, that will be really cool to kind of see him watch and develop this year. I did want to highlight, because you had talked about kind of how Braden Fletch and TKR kind of brought the Boilermakers home there, and there was a stat that I wanted to touch on, because I didn't realize it until kind of after the game and looking back at it. But the trio of Braden Fletch and TKR combined to finish with 48 points, 18 rebounds, and 20 assists. So obviously, those are the three guys you're going to lean on this entire season. And I would think that, just me watching that game, I thought they all played pretty well. I know TKR got off to a little bit of a slow start. He got the foul on the first possession, I think. Missed a couple shots early, but then he got going, obviously. And yeah, I mean, those are going to be the three guys that you're just going to, for lack of a better term, ride throughout the year.
Yeah, and rightfully so. They're the guys who've gotten the most floor time, over the last few years, and so they're most experienced in terms of playing time. And so, yeah, you're gonna lean on them, and your hope is just that night in and night out, at least two of those three are able to show up and have, solid productive games. And even if one of them is struggling, that they're still able to contribute in other areas. Like I can see a scenario where, like, you know, Braden and TKR are playing well, you know, throughout, and maybe Fletch is just kind of, he's just cold from the field, but, you know, staying engaged and still taking looks when they're open. And then you find him, you know, hitting a couple big shots down the stretch, which, you know, help us win. So even though his final stat line isn't great, you know, we'll still sit back and be like, well, no, like, yeah, he didn't play well for the entire 40 minutes. But, you know, in that final stretch when, you know, we needed some buckets, you know, he was there. He made some plays, or whether it's offensively or heck, even just driving and kicking, because it definitely seems, you know, we talked about it the other night about how he very much so seems like he's more comfortable with his game, understanding his spots on the floor and how to get there. So just stuff like that. So being able to drive and maybe even create for other guys. And, you know, obviously you see that with Braden in terms of just like, if he's not able to score, perhaps, you know, he's going to be looking to facilitate and get set guys up and get them open. So you're definitely going to lean a lot on them. And you're going to hope that obviously guys come, you know, you have a few guys who come with them each game. It might not all be the same people. So, you know, next game, like last game, it was Miles, and next game it might be Cam. Another game might be CJ. You know, that it could be a different person. It can be a different person or two or three every game. But yeah, you're definitely going to look at those three as like, no, like it, for us to get to where we want to get to, it first starts with you three and your production and your output every night. So but it was definitely good to see them kind of step up when we needed them the most on Monday, to just kind of give us that breathing room again to seal a win.
Yeah. And so looking ahead for these next couple of games, as we talked about, they've got a couple here at Mackey. So Friday night, November 8th, they'll take on Northern Kentucky. That is a 7 p.m. Eastern tip-off, and will be on Big Plus. And then Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern time, back at Mackey, they'll take on Yale, which will be back on Big Ten Network. So a couple of games. I'd be lying if I said I knew a whole lot about Northern Kentucky and Yale. So kind of just looking at it from a Purdue perspective, the one thing that I'm really going to want to see is kind of the decrease in turnovers. The Texas A&M Corpus Christi game was a pretty sloppy game. And so I think to me, that's the biggest thing, to kind of focus on, you know, cause to me, these two games are just really getting you prepped, not only for Big Ten, but also for that Alabama game a week for Friday. And so kind of as you get ready for that game, that's the big thing, I think, that we'll be looking at, is can they limit the turnovers?
Yeah. That turnovers are, you can get away with it in games like on Monday and probably even tomorrow, but you want to be able to, you want to build that, you want to start building those habits. So, you know, making better passes, just being more secure and more and just smarter with the basketball, because against, as you face better competition, when you turn the ball over, especially if it's live ball turnovers, I mean, it can get bad real quick. A lead can evaporate really quickly. A deficit can be created really quickly. Turnovers, just as oftentimes have been over the years, you know, that they've been the one thing. I think that and 3-point shooting have been the two things that have played Purdue historically, I would say probably over the last 5, 6, 7 years. So but obviously the turnovers, I think, stuck out most to me on Monday, because the threes, I mean, there were good looks and they just weren't falling. And, you know, we shot really well in the first half, headlined by Miles, but in the second half, you know, we went cold. But I mean, if you're listening to this one, I'm sure you can probably think of a handful of times where we were cold from three. So, you know, you just, with the threes, that's just like, okay, well, you continue to get good looks and good shots, and you're just going to hope that, you know, the averages play out. And if you got guys who can shoot the ball and they shoot it confidently, you're just going to assume that you're going to make more than you miss. But the turnovers are the ones that I feel like they're the biggest thing, because giving a team additional possessions and whatnot, turnovers just lead to more losses, just flat out. Like, you can win a game without hitting a bunch of threes, but you cannot win a lot of games turning the ball over 15 plus times a game. So Yeah, that's what I'm hoping to see tomorrow night, and even against Yale, is I want to see better taking care of the ball.
I would agree. And to your point, like the big thing is just those live ball turnovers. Listening to Paint talk in his presser before, I don't know if it was before or after practice today, but like as you know, the in prep for Northern Kentucky there, and he was asked about the turnovers and just talked about how they led to multiple layups, like three, four, five times, where you're just giving the opponent 2 points. And if those don't happen, it's probably not as close to a game as it is in this second half, and we're not sweating out that second half. So yeah, I think that's going to be the most interesting thing, these next couple of games, is just kind of taking care of the basketball there. But two good tests. I mean, Northern Kentucky, they are coming off a loss at Florida State. They lost by 12. So I mean, it's not like they got ran out the gym. So you know, it's games like this, you just got to make sure that you bring it. And because you can get upset, and if you don't believe it, look at Texas A&M, who you know already got knocked off on their home court. So you better believe that Paint at least made everybody aware of that also. And you know, you can't just, these are games where you can't just show up and think that you're going to win.
Yeah, especially in the parity, with the parity overall in college basketball nowadays, you can't go into games just kind of like overlooking your opponent, like you said, just thinking you can just show up and go on autopilot, and then oh yeah, you have a 20-point win. So yeah, I mean, and I feel like Penner does a good job of scheduling opponents to really find out who are going to test various aspects of like what we do. So I think like last game, Corpus Christi, a very good team defensively. They guard the perimeter very well. And so I think he knew, like, okay, if we're not smart with the basketball, if we don't value the basketball, we're going to turn the ball over a lot, and that could lead to problems. And sure enough, that's what happened. And I think that playing out then gives him that talking point of being able to even reemphasize it, because you know it's probably something you talked about in advance. And then when you go out and you are being a little loose with the basketball, you having live ball turnovers that lead to baskets, and now all of a sudden you find yourself in a game. When you're reviewing the film and you're talking about it after the fact, it's like, guys, this I told you, like, you know, you we need to value the basketball, because we might have gotten away with it, you know, on Monday, but there might be an evening, you know, in January, we're on the road, and you know, we're in like East Lansing. You start turning the basketball over, we'll be down 20, 25. You know, so yeah, just excited for these next couple games, and obviously the Alabama game after that. I mean, a Friday night at Mackey. Whew, yes. Two scoops,
Yeah, and
please.
that's probably my biggest concern, if I had one, was that game against Yale on Monday is just kind of, you know, the classic game before a huge game. But you know, to your point, Paint does a really good job of kind of making sure that the team is ready. And I think that they will be. But yeah, it'll be a couple interesting games. It's kind of like we've talked about, like all games to start this season is going to be interesting just to see how things play out, you know, with so many freshmen and guys in different roles. So it'll be fun. Again, they have Northern Kentucky on Friday, the 8th at 7 p.m. tip off. And then they'll be right back at Mackey on Monday. Quick turnaround game. Monday the 11th, 8 p.m. tip off on BTN. So let's switch gears. Let's go from the basketball team to the football team.
Do we have to?
And a game where, quite honestly, nobody's really given the Boilermakers a shot. I believe at last check when we talked, they were 39-point underdogs heading to Columbus. And just kind of looking big picture, and we talked about this a little bit before we recorded, but the one just scary thing to me for this Purdue football team is They have four games left this year, and three of them are against top eight teams in the country, starting Saturday against the number three, Ohio State. So if you thought things were bad last month, well, could get a whole lot worse. But specifically with this Ohio State game, Sim, I think the most interesting thing to me is Coach Walters has come out and named Hudson Card the starter. They have said that Ryan Brown will get some playing time, which, if you have listened to this, you know that I'm not necessarily a fan of unless it's warranted. Like if Hudson just came out and his play warranted Brown to come in, then I'm all for it. I'm not a big fan of having scripted plays to have a backup come in. To me, more times than not, it feels like you're just doing too much. But looking at this, looking at Hudson starting, to me, and this is no knock on Hudson, I probably would go with Ryan Brown. Just, at this point in the year, to me, you're at the point where you want to see what you have building for the future. And I know Hudson probably, I don't even want to say it like this, probably gives you a better shot to win, but the odds are so low to win the game. I think the potential snaps that you could get from Brown and kind of learn kind of who he is building for the future are way more important than trying to give yourself a shot to go into Columbus and beat the number three ranked team in the country.
Yeah, I can see that thought process in terms of, yeah, you play Ryan Brown because it's like the more live reps that he can get, the more acclimated to the college game, the speed of it and whatnot. Because I think in the Oregon game, it was very clear he wasn't quick with like his decision making. And then you look at the Northwestern game, and I think there can be a conversation about the play calls that each quarterback had, but his very much so seemed like it was just straight run. So even like when we're looking at Saturday, and like you said, you have Card starting, but there apparently are plays that Brown can come in. But I think even as an opposing defense, if you're aware of that, you're probably telling your guys, all right, when we see Brown come in, they're probably gonna run. So, I think when you play two quarterbacks like that, especially situationally, I feel like you don't do yourself a service in terms of tipping your hand. But what I do, I guess, where I do understand playing Card is not just the fact of in terms of giving you the best chance to win, but I think if you're Walters and you're trying to show like what this offense could be, I think that Card probably gives you the best opportunity, I guess, of having a good aesthetic, which again, yeah, you can kind of take that with a grain of salt because what Ryan Brown did against Illinois, obviously that was phenomenal. But yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, I'm looking right now at the on ESPN and they have the matchup predictor at 99% for Ohio State. So it's, I don't know. It's just, I'm not too encouraged about like what we might be able to do offensively. Of course, I'm going to watch and see, and hope to be pleasantly surprised in terms of just, can we get some flow, some rhythm offensively? Because I do feel like if we are able to get some flow, some rhythm, there's an opportunity to make some drives, and to be able to spell the defense a bit. But I do know that if we are stagnant offensively, it could get late early. And so from that standpoint, I would tell you, make sure you go to a Costco and make sure you stock up on your alcohol because, yeah, that might be the more entertaining thing to do at noon,
Yeah, and I think, in no way am I sitting here and saying that I'm going to predict Purdue to win this game, but if you're looking strictly to try to make some money, and play up against Vegas, I think there is an argument to be had for taking Purdue and the points. To me, this game screams of a letdown game for Ohio State, coming off of a huge emotional win on the road, against a top five team at the time in Penn State. And then you come right back around. You have a noon kickoff, against, probably the worst team in the Big Ten. So, Are you going to get that hyped up? To me, this is a game where you're probably going to see Ohio State, I would think, get off to. It's going to be an ugly start, I would think. And you're going to kind of see Ohio State, for lack of a better term, go through the motions. If I was a betting man, I think this game, not only for that, but you have, of course, with like spreads that size, you have the backdoor potential as well. Again, in no way am I saying that I think Purdue is going to win the game, but I think there's a pretty good argument to at least beat Vegas. That's worth something, right?
A win is a win. Hey, I mean, if the a win's what I mean, it would be worth something if you put money in they win, you know? So, yeah, but it's man, it's just this has been some hell of a schedule, man. It's been some hell of a schedule. And the fact that, like you said, man, the three of these last four games are against top 10, not just top 25, top 10. You got number two this week, you have number six next week, and then, to close out the season, obviously, we got to go down to that school down south, it's ranked number eight. But even the game in between that and Michigan State, it's a Friday night game in East Lansing. So, yeah, I mean, if you know anything about a night game at Ross 8, I imagine, no, I wouldn't say the atmosphere will be similar, but in terms of like the energy, I mean, people will show up even if your team isn't good. They're going to show up for a Friday night game. So it's just it's been a hell of a schedule for the Boilermakers, and it clearly doesn't get any easier anytime soon. So but yeah, just hopefully we're able to pull some positives out of the game on Saturday. And like you said, maybe you get a backdoor cover. So if that's something you're into, ESPN Bet doesn't even offer money line. So that's interesting.
All I can like, I just feel like the quote that's going to be used throughout this entire month as we watch these games is just, I'm going to be sitting there and saying, the night is always darkest before the dawn. That's going to be the only thing that's going to help me get through it. But I did want to just touch on one other thing related to the game, and we didn't get a chance the last time to talk about it. But highly touted wide receiver CJ Smith made his debut for the Boilermakers last week against Northwestern. And I thought that the sophomore who came from Georgia, I thought he played really, really well. Especially, all things considered, his game one, there was going to probably be some rust. But he had 55 yards receiving. And to me, he was that big play wide receiver that you've kind of been waiting for somebody to emerge since Brooks left. And that's going to be the one thing that I really am going to kind of watch, as this year moves on here in this last month is, his potential. And to me, that's kind of another reason why I would start a quarterback like Brown to try to give him some time to play with these guys, moving forward. And yeah, I didn't mean Deion Burks, I'm sorry. But his play, I think, was one of the highlights of the game last week, and is one thing to definitely kind of make sure to watch for out here this last month.
Yeah, I mean he had four receptions for 55 yards, but he had 38 yards after, yards after 38 yards worth of yak, yards after catch. So he's definitely a guy who you want to get the ball to, and you want to get the ball to in space. It definitely seems like he's able to make some plays happen. So yeah, you definitely I'd like to see. I mean, he only got seven targets on. He got targeted seven times on Saturday, and so four receptions out of those seven. So that's not bad, but you'd like to see him probably get some more looks. And I think too, as he gets more acclimated getting back into that game rhythm, I think he's a guy who you can use as a decoy to be able to set up some other stuff. So yeah, it was very he was a bright spot of what came out of that game. And you're hoping that maybe he's able to find some more success this Saturday, and even just the even this the rest of the way.
So again, we'll see what happens. Probably going in with the, I would say probably the lowest expectations I've had for a game so far this year. And you know,
Lower than Oregon?
just yeah, probably because my optimistic self had talked myself into Oregon, traveling across country on a Friday night under the lights at home. I thought it was going to be a closer game. But I'm also a bozo. So, we'll see what happens again. It is a noon kickoff. For some reason, Fox had decided to make it their, shoot, I can't think of what they call it now. Their big
Big noon
noon.
game. Yeah, the big noon game. But honestly, I think they were just like, yo, we need to get this game over with.
Not sure why they did that, but you know, if you guys want to watch it with us, we'll be watching at noon on Fox, and we'll break it down next week, and see kind of what happened there. Did want to switch gears a little bit. One thing we kind of haven't really talked about yet this season is Coach Katie Gerald's and the women's basketball team. Coach Gerald's, of course, a Purdue legend, in the Purdue Hall of Fame. She gets ready for her fourth year as the head coach. And kind of before we talk about the IPFW specifically, and Sim, we kind of talked about this off air, but I think to me the big thing you want to see from this team as they, you know, continue to take strides is just, you know, playing in the NCAA tournament specifically. I don't want to see NIT. I want to see NCAA tournament game in March.
Yeah, I think you want to see continued progression. And yeah, they were in the WNIT last year, and they've got they were able to get some good players out of the transfer portal. And so you're hoping that all spells the recipe and in terms of and even though you're gonna have you're gonna have a lot of new personnel, but you're hoping that they're able to gel and mesh quickly and be able to take a stride, take that next step, and at least be able to get into the tournament. Obviously, we're not talking about them making a deep run, but they're able to get into the tournament. Obviously, that's just continued progress in the right direction. And I'm a fan of Katie Gerald, so I want her to do well. I want her to be around for a while. So fingers crossed that they're able to continue moving in a positive direction.
Yep. Not only are we fans of Coach, but got to give her a shout out as well because her sneaker game is top notch. She brings the heat. So shout out to Coach, and her sneakers. But did want to just talk about specifically the opener against IPFW. The Boilermakers were able to win 87 to 77, and highlighted by Destiny Lombard, scored a career high 20 points. But I did want to highlight freshman Lana McCarthy as well. Posted a double double, and was the I believe, let me just make sure that I'm right. She had 18 points and 10 rebounds, and the first Purdue freshman to record a double double in a season opener. So, you know, that's kind of to your points about the talent that they've brought in, both from the transfer portal and with the incoming freshmen there. I believe six newcomers played, and they accounted for 66 of the 87 points and also had 28 rebounds and 10 assists. So you're going to lean heavily on these newcomers. But with the talent that they're bringing in, that's not necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah, man. And I mean, the score is what 80, it was 87-77, but I think that is a bit misleading. Purdue was they were up 18 going into the fourth, and I believe they actually got the lead up to 21 early on in the fourth. And obviously, IPFW, they clawed back. And I think even despite the win, much like with the men's team, there's a lot of correctable things for the women's team. I mean, they had 17 turnovers in that game. And so obviously that's gonna be probably point number one of like, yo, we gotta tighten that up because right around the corner is Notre Dame. And so you won't beat Notre Dame with 17 turnovers. But like you said, to have your newcomers come in and be able to contribute so heavily, that's very encouraging, and you hope that continues going forward. But obviously, yeah, you like to get a win, but there's very much so still things that the ladies can clean up. I'm confident that they will work on that and then try to do so. Like I said, we're just excited to see how this kind of early season shakes out, just to see how the team is gelled and how they've come together.
Yeah, and they'll get a real test this weekend, as Coach Neil Ivy, who of course everybody knows, Jaden Ivy's mom, and the 6th-ranked Notre Dame Fighting Irish come to Mackey Arena on Sunday. For a 7 p.m. Eastern tip-off. That game will be on FS1, so make sure to check that out. The first time that the Notre Dame Fighting Irish have come to Mackey since 2011. So you know it's going to be in a good environment, but also just a really good test to kind of see where the Boilermakers stack up against one of the best teams in the country.
Yeah, the good early season test to find out exactly, like you said, to find out exactly where they're at. But also, too, I mean, if they weren't to win, it's still an opportunity to find out, okay, where are we at and where are the areas we need to get better at? And I think it can give you a good idea of maybe what they might be able to fix throughout the course of the year versus stuff that might just be like, okay, well, yeah, we just need to continue to get, develop, like we need to get talent in these particular areas. But obviously anytime Purdue's playing Notre Dame, I think that's always going to be some appointment TV. So yeah, definitely if you have the opportunity, you want to make sure you tune in and support the Lady Boilers.
Yeah, so big matchup there this weekend. Again, that's Sunday evening, 7 p.m. Tip off at Mackey on FS1. And lastly, we'll switch gears and wrap everything up. We talked a little bit about the volleyball team and the kind of the pair of sweeps that they had last weekend, and just want to make sure that we highlight them this week as they kind of move towards the last part of the schedule. There's only 8 matches left in the regular season, and 2 of those will be this weekend, Friday the 8th. The Boilermakers will go to that school down south and take on IU, and then they will return home Sunday, November 10th, and take on Michigan. So a couple more chances to get some wins. Of course, you always want to knock off that school down south. Michigan is a school that, just looking at their records, 16-7, 6-6 in the Big Ten. With that game being at home, you would think that's one that you kind of think the Boilermakers should win there. So hopefully they can add a couple more wins and keep stacking those wins as they've moved back into the top 10, now ranked number 9. And, you always want to see them beat that school down south.
Yeah. That I couldn't say it any better myself. You always want to beat the school down south. And the Michigan game to me sticks out as just kind of like, don't play with your food. Like you said, with the record 16-7, 6-6 in the conference, you should be able to win that. But I think it feels like one of those games where if they come out slow, that could be like a 4 or 5 setter that you really don't want any parts of. And so that's one that I feel like, especially too, it's a 1 o'clock game on Sunday. If you can come out, hey, you can get it over with. But yeah, I think overall they should be able to take it. They should be able to handle business in both games, and that's obviously what you want, because now, like you said, we're rounding into the last part of the year before we get to the tourney, and so you want to be trying to round into shape and be playing your best ball before, at this time, which will set you up well going into the tourney.
Just stack wins. Both those games will be on Big Plus, so be sure to check those out. But that'll do it for this episode. Lots of things happening around the university athletic wise, so good luck to all the teams there. Thank you everybody for listening, and Boiler up.
Don't be a bozo. Don't be a Joe.